press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I'm Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. And happy holidays to everybody who's listening. This is, I suppose, unofficially our Christmas episode.
Our holiday season extravaganza. We've never done one. Didn't we do one year where we recorded with a guest? And we were like, oh yeah, this is our Christmas episode.
We did.
And love Christmas.
We did. It was with Amanda Lamott.
Oh, because she was like dressed as an elf.
She had like an elf hat on. She really got into it. I think we had told her in advance, like, this is going to drop during Christmas. And so she got in the spirit, which we have to respect.
I love that so much. Have we done it any other year, do you think? On our Patreon, definitely.
AKA on our Drama Patreon, Plus. We have, because, you know, if anyone who's really brave and ever, like, is, like, really interested in this sort of thing, you hypothetically could, I'm so giggly about this, could go back and listen to the Patreons from that first year when it was called Patreonama. We had like Christmas episodes where we talked about like favorite holiday movies and traditions and things like that.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm.
That's cozy. And something that we do every year on our Patreon is an annual, like sort of a year in review with our best gays. And we've done it the last 2 years and it's proven to be a very fun and enjoyable episode. We cover like pop culture topics and basically our favorite, you know, concerts and songs and movies, like pop culture moments. It's really, really fun. Our friends are quite culturally plugged in.
It's honestly fun as hell. And stay tuned for details on what's coming this year. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
But yeah, happy holidays, Dylan.
You're once again reporting from our home. I feel like this often happens where you're in the Cleveland house recording around this time of the year.
I know. I always try to avoid it. I'm like, okay, let's book around the holidays. We're going to like have a little actual break where we don't. And then the breaks end up in the most random of times.
I know.
Like, for example, all of last week, there was no pod recording. And I was working from home all week because, as our listeners will know from our Danny Burstein episode, I had foot surgery 2 weeks ago. And to, you know, like fix a toe joint, get some scar tissue out, some ligament action. I'm in no pain anymore. And I'm still in my medical shoe, though, for a couple more weeks. But anyway, so I was home. I didn't go anywhere. So it would have been the perfect time for me to do a little pod. But unfortunately, it just didn't shake out that way. So
it was supposed to.
It was here we are. Well, Dylan, if I had a nickel.
Can I just say, and I'm going to leave this as vague as possible, but because there is all the love in my heart. And when this guest ultimately does come on the show, we'll say it finally happened. We have been in talks with someone since like 2020, I want to say, about recording. And it was going to happen at long last. And it didn't, due to illness.
In fact, like day of this time, like yeah. It was really, and actually rescheduled a few times during the weeks leading up to it anyway. So I should have known it wasn't going to happen, but
one day, you know, it will. And it's going to be
when the time is right.
Incredible. And because this is someone we really want and we love. And that's why we're every time that they have to reschedule or we have had to reschedule, it's always been like, oh, no worries. Like, well, it'll happen. Like, I could never hate this person because I love their talent and personality.
Well, 'tis the season.
You know, we would be remiss not to include in this episode that it is a difficult time in the McDowell family. And I want to dedicate this episode to our beloved Grandma Mickey, who passed away earlier this week. And if you follow Connor and I on our personal social media pages, we've posted just a little bit about everything that's been going on. But yeah, our family has suffered a huge loss.
I know. It's extremely bittersweet going into the holidays because normally that would be a time when it's like, enjoy spending it with your family. Everyone's excited. You're off work. You're this, you're that. But as you said, monumental loss in our family. I mean, our grandma was our last living grandparent, but also the glue that really holds our immediate families amongst her children and us cousins and everyone together. And she was suffering for a really long time. But we luckily got to live with our grandmother, which I know isn't everyone's experience, but I'm so happy we did get as much time as we did. And she was so sick for honestly her entire life. So I'm glad she's finally at peace and she's no longer suffering. I don't know if it's really hit me yet, Dylan. It's weird. Death always affects me in different ways. And especially one when it's been, you've seen it coming for so long, like just because she's had so many ups and downs. I mean, she's had 27 lives, not nine, not, wait, is 27 the multiple of three? That's, okay, wait, nine, 18. Uh-huh. Wait, I did math. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
And when you say that she's been sick her whole life, I think that that's a vague statement in a way, because I don't think she would ever want anyone to say she had a hard life, because I think she would say she had a blessed life, because she was extremely religious. And our grandmother was someone who, from the time she was 23 years old, had rheumatoid arthritis that basically crippled all of her joints and muscles. And through all of it, she had three children, seven grandchildren, stayed in the most amazing positive spirits through literally everything. Someone who truly, the only time I heard her complain was if she was too cold. I'm like, oh, can we turn the heat on or can I have a blanket? Never. Oh, my joints are aching, or, oh, I can't lift my right hand up, you know, things like that. So it was, she's always been an inspiration in that way. And when there was a rumor going around that I might be giving a eulogy at her funeral, it gave me a lot of time to think about her and her life. And I'll definitely put words down. I'm kind of relieved that I'm not going to, because it's such an undertaking. How do you celebrate the life of someone who, like you said, is monumental without making a monument for them, basically? So
100%. And I need to hear your eulogy. I was so looking forward to it, Dylan. You write the bios for all of our guests that come on this very podcast.
I think there's been maybe two times that you have, but yeah.
Oh, and you're right.
One time I was like, do you mind taking a crack at that? And you go,
and I'm always like,
oh, okay. It's so funny. Wait, the last bit about our good old grandma is that it's very interesting. And I've noticed this in a lot of like reality shows where you see a queer grandchild and a grandparent, that oftentimes grandparents are accepting of their grandchildren in ways that sometimes parents aren't. We're lucky that we've had acceptance trickle down all the way. And with someone who is so devotedly Catholic, like, we were very lucky that our grandma loved us and accepted us through everything. She attended every show, musical, cabaret. I know she was very proud of us with the podcast. And so, like I said earlier, we are definitely dedicating this podcast to her. And as cheesy as it is, every time someone loses a loved one, I hear them say, call your grandma, call your grandpa, call that relative in your life. I do recommend doing it, because it'll make their day. And you never know when your conversation with someone is going to be the last. And on that note, we're going to take a break.
I'm just kidding. This is where we enter.
I should leave. I'm leaving that in.
That is so funny. But beautifully said, Dylan. I really have nothing more to say. That was so beautifully said. And I am looking forward to celebrating her life this week and weekend. I know everyone grieves differently.
Totally.
No shame, no tea, no shade. But I'm looking forward to just celebrating her almost 88 years of life with our fam during the most wonderful time of the year, which for some is the holiday season. For me is obviously, you know, award season, whether it be the Tonys, whether it be the Oscars. Uh-huh. You know, I couldn't go without the Grammys, to be honest with you. But we have a January Emmys. We have a January Golden Globes.
Okay, wait. I didn't realize the Emmys were happening.
Yeah, they pushed it during the strike because they were like, oh, it'll probably be resolved by then.
Girl, the strike.
I miss girl, the strike, but I'm glad the strike is resolved.
Uh-huh. Okay, so the Emmys are going to be on January 14th.
Okay, that's the one that's later. So that's Sunday the 14th. And I think the Globes is...
It's January 7th.
Oh, they're not on Monday. Why am I thinking it's on a Monday?
Thankfully, they're both on Sundays.
I've got my, you know, award show watch parties to plan. Not that I ever have them. But I'm so excited. Like, I know it's well documented on the pod how much we love pop culture at large outside of theater. But this time of year truly is such... provides such an abundance of content to consume between the new movies that come out, the excitement around the awards, all the interviews and press, and, you know, the fun content that's shared online about, you know, awards and actors. And, you know, we have Variety's Actors on Actors, and all of it is obviously a campaign and promotional tool, but it's so fun for me to consume. So I'm just...
Oh, and you're truly a cinephile in a way that I always knew that you loved movies and Hollywood and all that more than me. I've realized it even more this year, like how much you immerse yourself in it all.
Well, I feel like what I like more than you is I'm more into the celebrity side of it. And I love following actors and watching interviews and, you know, obsessing over performers and making sure I like go through all of their important works. Whereas you are, though, Dylan, such a cinephile. You're always putting on a movie at home. Whereas I'd probably go to the movies to watch, but you watch movies at home all the time.
I wish I was like you, though, because I know that you neurotically have a list of all the movies you've seen. Is that what it is?
I know. I make a list every year of every movie I watch.
I love that. I worry that if I were to do it starting now, in my head, I'd be like, well, I need to work backwards now and backtrack on the... Because you and I have been watching movies forever. I mean, my goodness, like...
But you even list repeats. Like, I'll put La La Land again. You know what I mean? Or something like that. Okay. Like, or, yeah, I think I usually write again.
I do have a list of every show, like Broadway show, play, performance, concert, event, anything I've ever gone to in New York and that I've seen.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since we started going as kids.
So you know how many theaters you've been in?
I mean, I've been in 40 of the 41. Yeah,
40 of the 41?
Mm-hmm. I would assume you have.
Is the Minskoff the last?
Yeah, well, it's actually, yeah. I mean, I suppose I have been in that one because I saw the Easter Bonnet there.
Okay.
In 2019, but... And I also fell asleep during it, but it was God. The sleep apnea was hitting me hard, girl. But I wouldn't count that as like seeing a show in a Broadway theater because I don't count that as a Broadway show, the Easter Bonnet.
Okay, the technicalities here.
I know. I'm ridiculous like that.
Don't get too caught up in it. That's my thing with my movies I've watched in 2020 whatever list. Mm-hmm. I think I've done it the last 3 years.
I want to say started it with the pandemic because I think you became really into like, there wasn't anything else going on. It was a perfect time to sort of...
Oh my God. The amount of like movies you should watch or have seen. I'm not a Letterboxd guy. I know that's very big. I don't love the idea of watching something and immediately having to rate and review it. I often like to sit with things before I read other reviews, before I know what other people think I should think about a piece of art. That's actually like one of my favorite reasons I am in New York is... If I have the time or money or opportunity to see something before I'm influenced in that way, like, you know, just genuinely seeing a commercial or an ad or knowing an actor is going to be in something and just going in cold.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think we talked about this on the podcast before about the idea of, you know, criticism and reviews and how they can sway and influence people. But and you're so good, Dylan. You're such a word of mouth kind of guy. Like when people give you, even on this podcast, like book recommendations, mm-hmm. you write it down and you read it.
I try to.
You do. You're so good at that. And I think there's something really nice about that. You know, instead of being like, oh, I heard it's too long or bad. You're just like, cool, I'll check it out. You know what I mean? So that's something I love about
New York. I do take your word for it, though. Like if you say to me, for example, there's that movie, The Green Knight, a few years ago. You're like, Dylan, do not go see it. And I was like, okay, I won't.
Well, I knew you'd be bored.
True. Wait, speaking of word of mouth, I need y'all who are in New York to go see these new Broadway musicals that have opened, chiefly Harmony and How to Dance in Ohio, because they're both really great.
This is your doses of drama.
I know. I don't know why I'm getting into this now, but...
No, this is good.
Listening to like what other people have to say, like in taking that suggestion, if you ever take one of mine, go see these shows. They're both amazing in different ways. They're both new shows. You'll walk away with something new you've learned and things to talk about. And so, and I can't stop thinking about both of the shows. Of all the things we saw in New York a couple weeks ago, I those are the two that have stuck with me.
And y'all, we talked about it earlier, but if you subscribe to Drama Plus, we did review all the shows we saw.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't do it on the main pod yet, I guess, but I know. Yeah. I mean, I especially was so moved by How to Dance in Ohio. I just...
You were sobbing.
Oh, my God. It's just so touching in like a come from away kind of way. I keep telling people that.
That's the best way to describe it.
Where you're just overwhelmed with feelings of pride and warmth, but not in a cheesy way. It's like you're actually watching art created by people who the story is about. And it just has all these layers. But you know what, though? I say that. And then you and I were not well at the end of Harmony.
No.
Which I think is an unpopular opinion. I think word of mouth for Harmony has not been as good as when we saw it and enjoyed it.
Agree.
Like in my circles, like especially in like, you know, the work sphere world that I, you know, without getting too specific, people are like, oh, I heard it was bad. And then people just don't go see it because they hear that. But I think there's something to be said for just if something interests you, taking it in.
As Sarah Bareilles says in the song King of Anything, we've all got opinions, man. We're all entitled to them, but I never asked.
Whoa. I miss her pop era.
I know. Do you think that you'll be able to see The Waitress, as I famously called it on TikTok recently, in theaters?
you did call it The Waitress. I don't think so. I haven't really been able to go to the theater because of my immobility with my foot. I'm not really supposed to walk on it too much. Although I did randomly go to the movies last week because it was right next to my doctor's office. I had to go get my bandages changed.
A likely time.
Well, and the only showtime that was really working for me was for the new Zac Efron movie, The Iron Claw.
Which is not in wide release.
Oh, it's not?
I mean, I don't think it's playing in here in Columbus yet.
Oh, okay. Then I'll save my thoughts on it, but not what I thought it was going to be.
It's sort of a biopic, right?
Yes. It basically follows this family, specifically brothers, who are all in one way or another involved in wrestling, WWE. But there's a family curse that allegedly exists. You watch how they live their lives and navigate it and kind of wonder, in the least cheesy way possible, if this curse is really affecting how their lives play out.
Wait, I'm suddenly way more interested than I ever was before.
Obviously, they're not advertising it like that, but that's really sort of the through line of the story, other than you're watching them
hot guys
grow into men and
tops and
shorts. I have to say, I mean, Zac Efron, this is the last thing I'll say on it, because I, as you said, it's not a wide release yet, but Zac Efron obviously was the gay awakening of pretty much everyone our age, whether it was in High School Musical 1, 2, or 3, you're attracted to some iteration of that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he went on to do
he did Hairspray.
17 and then... again, Hairspray, The Lucky One. What was the one, the brother Charlie, whatever that was?
Something about Charlie St. Cloud.
Charlie St. Cloud. He was such a movie star in the purest form. And he low-key still is. He hasn't done a TV show. And by low-key, I mean he still is. He's still got that movie star quality to him. But he wasn't the brother I was most into while watching the film. And it also wasn't Jeremy Allen White, who stars as Carmi in The Bear.
Okay, I'm doubly shocked.
It was Twink King Harris Dickinson.
Oh, okay, I do. I love was in, him.
He's so cute. He's going to be in the new Nicole Kidman thriller.
Right.
Where she's the CEO of some company and he's an intern and they start an illicit affair.
Yeah.
But he was in Triangle of Sadness and that gay indie Beach Rats.
See How They Run he was in?
He was?
Mm-hmm. Using his British accent. Is he British?
I think he is British.
Okay. Yeah,
I have to look into that.
His native accent. He's in this Hulu series I'm watching right now called Murder at the End of the World with Emma Corrin. And he's gorgeous in it. I actually really enjoy it, but it's very slow.
Is it about a murder or is that just the title?
It is about a murder.
One singular murder?
Many murders.
And are they trying to solve the case?
Yeah, do you want me to give you... I love when we explain things to each other on the podcast. It's always so funny because this is absolutely something that you and I would have a phone call about. And I'd be like, I'm watching this new show. And then we'd ask each other baseline questions. But you go, is there a murder? And I just go, there is.
That's a classic you line, the pause before.
Basically, it's about a group of people who are invited to this retreat in a undisclosed location by sort of a Jeff Bezos type figure and his wife. And they're all the greatest minds in technology, innovation, national security, things like that. And the idea is they're going to combat global warming and with this summit of the minds. And one of the people invited is Emma Corrin's character, who is a true crime author and a hacker who dedicated her book to the wife of this Jeff Bezos type character, and who was a hacker herself and then was doxxed and then ended up marrying this guy. And now this whole thing. And she had previously hunted down a serial killer with a best friend / lover played by Harris Dickinson.
Oh, so that's in flashback?
It's in flashback. And then the gag of the pilot is he appears at the summit as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good pilot.
After they haven't spoken in years after solving this serial killer.
Interesting. I mean, the setup is a bit Agatha Christie.
Murder, and then murders start happening at this summit, basically. And so
it sounds really good.
It's good. You mentioned earlier that he's a twink, Harris Dickinson.
Yes.
And it made me think of the other twink in the news right now, the Senate twink, which it's been done to death. There's been too many people discoursing it. But I'm thinking in my head right now about twinks captivating the general consciousness. And I'm thinking of the demon twink.
Well, there was the year of the twink. Wasn't it 2019? It was pre-COVID.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
2018. And then everyone sort of was like embracing their curves. And now randomly, because of Ozempic, Finn is like quote unquote in again. And mm-hmm. everyone wants to be skinny again. So,
well, people also like turned anything. On Lizzo. So I think that like that was also a big downfall of like body beautiful.
Lizzo was the body beautiful
ambassador.
Ambassador, really? You're right. Mm-hmm. She was. She's quietly been uncanceled because I noticed in the Beyonce Renaissance film, she was mentioned in the Vogue Break My Soul Beyonce version. Because Beyonce took her out of some of them.
She did during the allegations period. But so I was thinking, I'm on this whole twink train right now. Last episode was called the Slut Train. This one is not going to be called the Twink Train. But the idea of someone having a video of themselves having sex in their workplace leak makes me think, what would happen if someone in like a Broadway theater or like someone, it's not like people don't have sex in Broadway theaters. Like, I'm sure it happens all the time in dressing rooms and stuff like
sending
that.
Sending nudes from a dressing room.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
The Broadway twink would not capture the collective consciousness of the nation. First of all, because there's plenty out there, but I don't think it would be as big of a deal.
Maybe a Broadway show needs some kind of fun press like that. Not to say fun. I'm sure the producers would be like, this is a nightmare.
I'm sure it would be classified as revenge porn. And then I think that would be the whole issue.
Only if it leaked. If it's an OnlyFans.
Oh, that's true.
Self-produced.
I wonder if Broadway performers, if there's clauses in contracts about it.
I know there have been performers that have publicly had OnlyFans, right?
Definitely. I also think that there's like that whole tie-in, like we celebrate bodies and sexuality with like Broadway bears and calendars and
BCEFA.
Yeah, different like
events or fundraisers. I mean,
we have nudity on Broadway all the time, baby.
That's true. Is there any currently happening?
Well, not since Take Me Out, I want to say. You know, I don't know of any other.
Since Take Me Out.
Which this time a year ago was out very much top of mind for us.
Does Cabaret have nudity? I feel like you see breasts. To quote Julia Roberts in Notting Hill. Breasts.
I don't know if there is. I don't remember if from when we saw it. I don't know if there is. But what else has been?
There's so much to come.
What else has been going on Broadway wise?
We haven't discussed outside of Instagram DMs. Just announced this week, Kennedy Center's doing Tick Tick Boom.
Yes.
Tony winner Brandon Urianowitz starring in it, and then Tony nominees Danae Benton and also star of the Golden Age, and Tony nominee Gray Henson are all going to do it. I think that's such a great. Interesting cast.
It's inspired.
I wouldn't
casting.
Necessarily think to put all them together, but love it.
Yeah.
I hope it's like good.
I hope so too. You know, Neil Patrick Harris is directing it, and he previously directed Rent at the Hollywood Bowl. So I definitely think he has his
with Vanessa Hudgens.
With Vanessa Hudgens, yeah. She's so inextricably linked to the Jonathan Larson storyline.
Wait, you're right, because then she did the film of Tick, Tick, Boom. Mm-hmm.
And she was in Rent Live. She was in Rent at the Hollywood Bowl, Rent Live, and then Tick, Tick, Boom.
Some might say she is sort of...
one of the foremost interpreters of Jonathan Larson's sacred texts.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also... Next, she's going to be in the Jennifer Tapper-directed Jonathan Larson project. Was that what that was called? That was the 54 Below?
Yeah.
I loved that. I love that album.
We should plant that idea in Jen's head. I remember when she was in Tick, Tick, Boom, we asked Jen how Vanessa was, and she was like, amazing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Vanessa as the Chris Rodriguez track.
Okay.
And then we have to fill in the blank of the other three.
Mm-hmm. It was Nick Blamire, George Salazar, Andy Mientis.
Andy Mientis, Krista, Lauren Marcus. So it was five.
Five. I'm like, there's seven.
Okay. Well, I mean, Emily Ashford would be great in the Lauren Marcus track. So we've got Vanessa Hudgens.
I like that you're dream casting a remounting of the Jonathan Larson project. I do find that Nick Blamire does amazing work with Jonathan Larson's music. And I think that he, if anyone, should continue on with it.
And he's another one who's done... He did Tick, Tick, Boom and that. I'm sure he's done Rent, right? Sure. He has to have.
And George Salazar obviously did Tick, Tick, Boom as well.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. 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 Okay. So we still need to cast the others, but it'll come to me later, maybe. But,
you know, on Drama Plus, we always tell the listeners to write in. We always tell them to write in. So the question for this twin talk is, who would be your Jonathan Larson Project dream cast? This is such a niche thing, but I think if you're listening to drama, you know what's going on.
For some reason, Stark Sands and Zach Pizer popped into my head as like voices I'd want to hear doing some of those songs, but I don't know.
Definitely we'll Zach see. Pizer, who we love on drama.
Couldn't you hear Stark doing Valentine's Day Well?
Totally.
That song? Now that we're talking about Jonathan Larson and interpretations of these pieces, I'm like, I gotta go to the Kennedy Center now.
I mean, Tick, Tick, Boom is so good, and Danae is gonna absolutely eat Come to Your Senses, so.
They are doing just one female track here. They're not splitting it.
As it stands now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how it's going to sell. Because none of those three like aren't like movie star names that might need to sell a production. They're Broadway names. So
true. But I think Kennedy Center's got the subscribers. So okay. They always have that on their... Gosh, only time we ever saw anything there was In the Heights at the Kennedy Center, which I'm sure we've mentioned.
And why,
to
Connor? I mean,
before.
While she's been the godmother of this podcast, why did we go see In the Heights at the Kennedy Center?
Well, okay, well, first and foremost, it's in my top five favorite musicals. Mm-hmm. And I know you love it too, but it was because of Baby V, of course.
Vanessa Hudgens was playing Vanessa, actually.
You know, we did go to the stage door to meet her, and we have not done a stage door thing in, you know, at least more than a decade, you know, since we were kids. But we had to meet Vanessa Hudgens. I knew it would be iconic. I think it's still on my Instagram, y'all. If you scroll back, you know, to what year was that? 2018,
I think. Yeah.
Wow. But yes, she was so good. And Anthony Ramos was Usnavi.
And Anna Viafanie was Nina. And Eden Espinosa was Daniela.
Wow. Amazing cast. Mm-hmm. That was so good. Okay, but anyway. We were discussing Kennedy Center, but anything else in the theater news that you have on your mind that you want to chat about?
The only other thing that's interesting, I mean, you hear these news outlets all the time posting like, oh, this show is in development, and then you never hear about it again. But Michael Arden is going to be directing and is working on a musical adaptation of The Lost Boys, which is that campy, I mean, I don't know if it was campy at the time, but it's like a horror thriller comedy from the 80s.
Don't they fly?
About vampires.
Do they fly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I actually just watched that movie for the first time.
Well, actually, recently. Ellen, you sat down to watch it with me during COVID and famously fell asleep 5 minutes in. And I finished it without
you.
Oh,
my God.
Why did I do that? Why didn't I just wait for you to wake up? Oh, how cruel.
Who can say? Who can say? You had a list to get through. As we said earlier, you were trying to make your way through all the movies during COVID.
My Virgo behavior back then was like... clearing a DVR. Was there anything more like more satisfying than the DVR? Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 crossing the list. Oh,
oh
my
yeah.
God.
Which, I mean, DVRs, do people have those anymore? I mean,
yeah, our parents still do, believe it or not.
People who have cable have them.
So, Real Housewives, obviously, there's so much airing right now. I'm sure we've talked about it on the other pod and on the Drama Plus and everything, but we have not discussed Real Housewives of New York Legacy. It's the ultimate girls trip following the New York alums together in St. Bart's in the same home they were in, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. Amazing. And same villa. So satisfying.
Which I didn't know they were going back to the place, that same place in that trip. From what, season 6 or 7?
Yeah, 6, I think. Because Takeman was on the trip. Oh, so it probably was 5. Because Kristen Takeman was not on the trip. And yeah, that sounds right. That's right.
Well, wasn't Luann a friend?
She was a friend the next year. I know. I always confuse those two, but it's because of that trip, I think, that she was withholding about her life. You know, she had the hot mic moment. She addresses it on the show.
Right.
I think they decided to demote her to just being like a friend, aka a recurring cast member. But it's so good. So we've got Luann, Sonia, Ramona, Dorinda, Kristen Takeman. I feel like I needed to give two names there. And Kelly mm-hmm. Bensimone. Kelly Kilgore Bensimone.
Yeah.
And right. Okay, 3 episodes in, what are your thoughts?
I'm loving it. It's, to me, like, as it's, this is airing while Salt Lake, Potomac, those are the only other two ones that I watch are also airing. It's just
Beverly
such a
Hills.
Breath of fresh air to me. Beverly Hills. Which, don't get me wrong, I love all that's going on. And like, this isn't like their lives. It's them on a trip talking about their lives as opposed to like, moving forward with storylines about their lives, really. So it's different. It's like a different setting, but I absolutely love it. It is so funny. It's so nice to see them again, which, I mean, obviously Luann and Sonia just had their Crappy Lake series and Ramona has never really gone away, but especially to see when Dorinda was on that one ex-wives trip, but just to see them all together, it's no one fights and makes up like these women. No one is able to put themselves out there like them. The way they flirt with the local men, the way that they dance and they're all about having fun, it's so much looser than the heaviness of, I'm just going to say, which I think is that it's having its banner season, Salt Lake, even Beverly Hills right now, which feels heavy
a little bit. Yeah. Well, I agree. And it's especially weird to think about Roni Legacy and then the season 14 that they just did with the whole new cast, which send it back in the mail. Nothing iconic about that season at all. If things wouldn't have been turned into memes, I wouldn't remember like anything that happened. Honestly, I mean, I love Bran. I think she's a star. And I think Jessel was a fun TV character, but the rest I don't care about. And Jenna Lyons was super interesting, but she wasn't interested in like playing the game. So I doubt she'd be back for another season.
Mm-hmm.
These women on this legacy trip, like, sure, they've been in the game for a long time, but they're still missing that awareness in the areas where it counts. And I think that's where season 14 Roni or these other franchises, there's too much awareness of what I'm getting in my DMs. Am I the fan favorite? Who's the fan favorite? Is this, you know, blah, 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 blah. How am I going to come across?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Sonia at least seems like she doesn't know how she's going to come across. I'm sure she's putting on a show.
Diving
but
naked into the pool.
It's so fun. They are missing a couple more bodies.
Agree. Who do you think would have added to it?
Well, they all asked this question to each other, and I actually couldn't agree more. Tinsley, because I love the idea of catching up with a wife who's had a lot of stuff happen off camera that, and it, she's not necessarily like doing Watch What Happens Live and stuff. So would love to have seen her because she just got married. I think she's also on Ozempic, which is crazy because she was already so skinny. She looks unhealthy. I'm actually worried about her. But Tinsley would have been great on the trip. I, of course, always want Carol, but she's so jaded that it wouldn't even be fun. So
I think Carol with Heather would have been an interesting addition.
Yeah.
Heather Holla Thompson.
Period. I know.
Because I think they were on the original trip, right?
They were.
So yeah, and that would have been great to have them back.
Aviva,
who, yeah, no, don't need her and don't need Bethany. But
Aviva
otherwise,
got divorced.
Right. Wild. No, it's super fun. And I think that it should be, your friend Gibson actually posted this on Twitter. Every year they should redo this and visit another iconic site of a trip. They're going to run out of them quick, but I think that it would be fun for 3 or 4 seasons.
Well, he said that about Roni, but I immediately was like, okay, well, we can do this with other franchises too. You know, I mean, send the Beverly Hills women back to Amsterdam, bring Yolanda and Kim and Rinna back. And I don't know, I guess it's hard when some of them are still on their flagship series, like with Roni being over for them. It was
on pause.
On pause. But yeah, so good. Highly recommend that. Okay, so Dramwa, I know we usually take it to our listeners to ask us about some scoop, some, you know, Dumwa equals Dramwa. If you're new to the show, that's kind of the vibe. People submit things to us. But I want to talk about some of the fun celeb casting happening on Broadway this spring. And even now, I mean, Sarah Paulson in a play and Elle Fanning is in it from The Great, obviously, and 20th Century Women, amongst other projects. But and then we've got Joe Locke from Heartstopper coming in.
Joining Sweeney.
So fun.
Amazing casting.
I mean, can he sing?
I would hope.
I guess he has to in a way.
Yeah.
But the one I'm most excited about, and I'm sure I'm forgetting others, but Ariana Maddox from Vanderpump Rules doing Roxy Hart in Chicago. Like,
I know.
Unbelievable.
Well, we just saw her slay on Dancing with the Stars. She didn't win. I think she came in third.
She did.
Yeah. Which I felt was a respectful place for her at the end there. But I mean, this is like why Roxy exists, right?
I love that take. Yes.
It's the headline grabbing starlet who's seizing her moment of stardom. And Ariana has done that in the last year.
I know. And you know what I realized? She's going to be in it while Vanderpump season 11 is airing.
Oh.
So she's going to be having another moment. I'm sure she's going to be like, you know, doing the whole press circuit for both shows. She'll be on Watch What Happens Live. Like, I have to see her.
I was going to ask, do you have plans with your friends to get tickets?
No, but don't you want to go too?
It's famously not like the easiest to get tickets to Chicago, like, discounted.
True. That's actually such a good point. I mean, it's probably at TKTS, right?
I
know people who paid a lot of money to see Jinx Monsoon in it. A lot.
I know people who paid money to see Jinx and Pamela Anderson.
I forgot about Pam. Yeah. I don't know. cannot wait to see Ariana. Like, I'm really excited for this moment that she's having, and I'm also excited for Vanderpump season 11. But
and we know she can sing. She's been on a James Kennedy single.
Oh my god, how could I forget that?
And she has a theater background too, so like this just feels like it was on its way.
Do we have any like other celebs coming that I left off the list there?
Yeah, there's also that Enemy of the People play that's going to have Jeremy Strong and Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, more recently The White Lotus, and then a young woman from You, right?
Yeah, well, no, you know her too, Dylan. She was in the Netflix horror show that came out in 2020. Hill House.
Haunting of Hill House.
Yes, yeah. And the other one.
The Blind Manor.
Yes, and she's in You, of course, too, but I love her.
Was she the bent neck lady?
Spoiler alert. 4-year spoiler alert for people who haven't watched The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, but she is.
It is. She is.
Period. That's going to be great.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, so there's a lot of celebs coming to Broadway this season, which always helps bring in the tickets and the buzz.
True. Okay, Dylan, do we want to move on to a closing segment, a dose of drama, or do you feel like yours was good? Do you feel like you shared what's on your heart and mind this week?
Yeah, I will reiterate with my dose of drama is to go see Harmony and How to Dance in Ohio.
Love.
Okay. What about you?
I do have one because I texted you this yesterday and you were like, oh my God, Connor, the things that keep you up at night. But I am feeling so passionate about this. And I honestly, I know it's early to tell. We don't know what's going to happen come Oscars night. But I really, 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 really feel in my heart that Ryan Gosling should win this Oscar supporting actor for playing Ken in Barbie. He was absolutely amazing. I love when a much loved actor makes a splash in an iconic role. This immediately became one of his iconic roles. And he should have an Oscar by now. I think he wasn't nominated for Blue Valentine, should have gotten it then. And I think a case can be made for him in La La Land. But I really, really want him to win. You know, Charles Melton in May, December is picking up some of these critics' wins and all, you know. And he was amazing too. But I just feel like Barbie was the moment, is the moment. Gosling, I mean, he's releasing a Christmas version of I'm Just Ken, I guess, coming out today. Probably when you've heard this, you'll hear that. But I just love him, and I really, really, really want this to be his time. So I'm putting that energy out into the world. I know that's something stupid to worry about, but
I think that's fun. It's we'll like, see. How iconic would it be to say that someone won an Oscar for playing Ken?
No one's done it.
It's like how someone won an Oscar for playing Santa.
I'm ready for it. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Best Picture, Best Director, all that stuff. But I really think because of the sensation that Barbie is and the way it got people excited to go to the movies, I need him to win.
I think that's so funny. I don't mind as much. That is my favorite category. So
this year, for sure.
I love the two featured categories always.
Featured or supporting or whatever they call it, mm-hmm. you know. Featured mm-hmm. performer even. I know some of these awards bodies are not having gender attached, which is cool and interesting. And, it's mostly mm-hmm. male identifying actresses who are in these categories anyway. But Dylan, this was so fun. There's so much going on. I feel like we have a positive spirit going to the holidays, even though our family is dealing with a hard time. But I love that we have this podcast where we get to connect together about the things we love and to look ahead and look back on this year and really celebrate the good parts.
Oh my God, I couldn't have said it better myself. I agree. And everyone should keep following us on social media, The Drama Podcast, at The Drama Pod on TikTok. And then if you're feeling generous and have some extra pennies in your pocket this holiday season, check out our Patreon. We're just patreon.com/The Drama Podcast.
Thanks, Dylan. And happy holidays.
And follow Connor at Connor McDowell and me at Dylan McDowell. Yeah. Happy holidays to you. I will see you at home soon. And actually, I will see you next time as well.
Drama.